It's always good to start a service off with a baptism. Amen. Yes. So enjoyed the singing this morning as well. We're going to be in 2 Thessalonians this morning in chapter 2. It's a topic that most of the time is not really preached on, but we're just that theology things. Sometimes we have to tackle some things that we don't normally talk about. Of course, we're going to lift up Jesus through this. Of course, it's what we do. And we're going to acknowledge who he is. And I think we've already done that through song and through our prayers. But we're going to talk about the man of lawlessness today. Some of you may not have heard that, but you will today. So I want to tell you that we're living in a time that is just a crazy time. And it was a crazy time even back in Rome. And when Jesus did his ministry and the church just exploded in Acts chapter 2, we see just the persecution of believers, and so much. And then we see the whole thing there. And then World War II, we see there with Hitler annihilating, trying to take over the world. People thought that he was the one persecuting the Jews. But there's some things that the scriptures tells us that we need to pay attention to. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians, and I want to pray. Father, Lord, we just again thank you for an opportunity here today. Lord, as we read your word, may we intake its meaning, its truth, and what you want us individually to learn from it and collectively as a church. And we lift up this time to you in Christ's name. Amen. So here we are. We're living in a time that is pretty rough. It is a rough time we're living in. If you're a baby boomer, you're thinking you never saw this coming. You never saw that this was going to happen, that we were going to be this far out. If you're a baby boomer, you never thought you'd be walking around with a cell phone in your hand and you can just pick up and talk to anybody anywhere. It's a great tool. It is. But also, on the flip side of the goodness of it, it has a lot of evil in it. It has a lot of evil in it. But we're living in a world where it's almost like wrong is lifted up and bad, the good is being suppressed. But the scripture told us it was going to happen. I want to challenge you today to really look at your relationship with Jesus Christ to make sure that it's not in membership. That it's not because you're a member here you think you're going to heaven. Because your mom and dad are believers that you think that you're going to heaven because your family is strong, devout Christians. This is an eye opener for all of us here today to remind you and so you can work out that salvation. As Paul says, work out your own salvation. We're going to talk, this is a little bit about end times. Some of you may be a pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, whatever you want to say that you are. Jesus is coming back. Let's just say it that way, okay? Jesus is coming back. I know I'm a pre-trib person. I believe that Jesus will call up the church before. But we are going to look at some things that's going to happen in that time frame. I want to tell you, people today, back in the late 60s, mid-60s, they were building these bunkers in their backyards because they're bomb shelters. Some of them still exist today. People are even doing it now. They're still building bomb shelters. They're going to hide. They think they're hiding from something. We're going to find out that you can't hide. You can't hide, okay? Chapter 2, the people, these Thessalonians, they thought that Jesus, they missed the return of Jesus. They were stressing out. Oh, there in the other book of Thessalonians 1, you're going to see that there. There's a great piece about that. But they thought they missed it. They thought they missed the second coming of Christ. They were stressing out. Rightly so, if you think you missed it. But Paul wanted to share some things with them that they needed to know. And that's what we're going to look at today. It says now, verse 1, now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, not to be easily upset or troubled, either by a prophecy or by a message or by a letter supposedly from us alleging that the day of the Lord has come. So here Paul is saying that there is going to be a time when we're going to be gathered up into heaven with Christ. But he says he wants them to know, don't be upset or troubled when you get news that don't be don't be pulled aside when you hear that this coming has already happened. It has not come. It has not come. He says in verse 3, don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. There's a lot going on right here. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way. You need to be careful of what preachers you're listening to. Because just because somebody says they're a preacher doesn't mean they're a man of God. Just because you see a cross on a steeple doesn't mean they preach the Word of God. There are a lot of great preachers. There's a lot of great teachers. There's a lot of good biblical churches. They're out there. But there's also the others that are swaying people. What Paul is saying, be careful who you let speak into your life. Be careful who you're listening to. Check them out. Don't just listen to somebody preach all the time. Listen, have your own Bibles. Have your own Bible. I want to get more Bibles in these pews so you can check me out and make sure I'm doing the job. I'm doing the job that God wants me to do, that I'm preaching biblically. You should be checking this out. After this message, you're like, man, I've heard some things here that I don't understand so much. I think I'm going to go back and study. Go back and study. If you have questions, you can ask me. I don't have the answers. I believe that no pastor has all the answers to God's Word. I think God's Word is that tough. I believe that God's Word is the piece that He says that you have to lean on me of understanding through the Holy Spirit, but you still have to trust that there are some things that the Scripture says are mystery. They're secrets of God. Yet there are people that will say, we know everything about the Word of God. And when we think that we know everything, what we're doing is we're putting our place into God's place. We will always need His clarification. And God's Word does that. But He says, don't let anyone deceive you. People are being deceived today about end times. There are people always predicting 1988, 1992, 2000. Oh, 2000. I even forget what the line was. Y2K. I can't remember what it was. But it just blew up. It was nothing. Okay? So we have to be careful who we let speak into our life. He says, for that day will not come. That day that Christ comes will not come unless the apostasy comes. First, what is that? That is the falling away. That is the rebellion. That is the falling away. That is the falling away of people that were claiming to be Christians that were falling away as Paul was teaching Timothy. There'll be a come a time when people will listen and have itchy ears and they'll be pulled away to other things of what they want to hear. Here it is. There'll be a possibility. The whole great falling away. But I also want to remind you that even with the falling away, God also can do a great revival and encounter as well. I'm kind of seeing that now. Just a little bit. There's a lot of people that used to come to church. They don't come to church anymore. Here, we've done great. Other churches, I'm telling you, I just talked to a pastor this last week, and they were in 180, getting ready to push the 200. They were hitting over 200 several times. Now they're down to about 120, 130. So they all fell out. The whole COVID thing, there was more than just an illness. It pulled a lot of people out of the church. But also, we're seeing also an influx of some churches are actually growing through this. New Life is one of them. We have a higher attendance today than we did before COVID and through COVID. Most churches do not. But Paul says this has to happen first. There has to be a falling away. But also says that must come first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed. He must be revealed, and the man is doomed to destruction. This is the Antichrist. Now, listen, I'd love to, these are the kind of messages that are not preached a lot on, but we do need to hear it. Amen? We need to hear about these things. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or not, but I just assume there's a lot of us that are afraid. When we hear about the book of Revelation, we get scared. We get nervous. We don't understand it. We're just like, oh my gosh, we're talking about all these things, the Antichrist, the false prophet, we're talking about Satan himself. But I want to remind you this, as we begin to go, Jesus is triumphal. Jesus is the winner. Okay? So we know these two things have to happen. It has to be a time where there's a great falling away, a great rebellion against God, a great rebellion against Him. But also, this Antichrist will rise. And then he goes in verse 4, he said he opposes this Antichrist, this man of lawlessness is a very wicked individual. He is a very wicked individual. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he sits in God's temple proclaiming that he himself is God. That is pure evil. That is an individual that is pure evil. So what is he doing? He opposes and exalts himself. Anyone that goes against him, he opposes. He exalts himself. This is not a demon. This is a human being. This is a man. And he exalts himself above every so-called God, all these things that other people worship in the world. He opposes them, everything, everyone's got to worship. And so that he's going to sit enthroned, and he will proclaim that he will say, I am God. Now, folks, that is the works of Satan right there. That is the works of Satan. So we know that this individual is an individual that is going to do a lot of damage. This is a man that's full of sin, destroys everything that's in front of him. He's doomed for destruction. This man is the working of Satan and filled with evil. This man is the Antichrist, leading people into sin and darkness and into eternal damnation, separated from God. He is no friend of a person. He is filled with himself. And he will use anyone he chooses to use. That can be very, very hard to hear. But I want to jump over and give you a little more insight. I'm not going to read it all. But in Revelation chapter 13, we see a little closer. It says the beast. And we know that there is Satan. We know there is the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness. And we know that there is also the false prophet. There's a little mixture in some of these. But I want you to get the feel of what's really happening at this time. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 5, it says the beast was given a mouth to utter boasts and blasphemies. It was allowed to exercise authority. Do you keep hearing he was allowed? God is allowing it. God is allowing it. Why would God allow it? We don't know what God is allowing. God's in charge. God's not nervous. God is on his throne. God is not nervous about this. Okay? He was allowed. There's end time things that have to happen. And so the beast was given a mouth and to utter boasts and blasphemies. He was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. It began to speak blasphemies against God and to blaspheme his name and his dwelling and those who dwell in heaven. So he is speaking against God. He's speaking about all those in heaven, all those saints, all those who are in heaven. He speaks against God. But over in 16, it says this, and it makes everyone small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one can buy, sell, unless he has the mark, the beast's name, or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, because it is the number of a person. Its number is 666. You just keep reading that stuff, and it's like all the hairs on your arms start standing up. And you know what? It's not soon we hear Jesus, and we are start saying, "Oh yeah, there it is. There's my security. There's my foundation. There's my salvation. There's my hope. There's my whole redemption. It is all in Jesus Christ." But this man of lawlessness is doing what he feels, he's doing the purpose of Satan. Let's look at this in verse 5. Don't you remember, Paul says, that when I was still with you, I used to tell you about this. So Paul is saying, I taught you guys this But somebody in those previous verses came in, was using Paul's name, said they heard it from Paul, came in, started changing things up, and began to confuse the people. Okay? Now, we're fortunate. We have the Word of God. We have the Old Testament and the New Testament. It is all the Word of God. Amen? There are some churches that don't use the Old Testament. But how do you get to the New Testament without looking at the Old Testament? The Old Testament mirrors the New Testament. Amen? And the more you read your scriptures, the more you'll say, wow, there's something just like that in the New Testament or in the Old Testament. But he says, remember that I was with you. I taught you this. And then he says, and you know what currently restrains him so that he will be revealed in his time. For the mystery of the lawlessness is already at work, but the one now restraining will do so until he is out of the way. Here it is. So what we're looking at here is the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, ready to go. But who is holding them back? It's God. God says it's not the time. You can't go. But he is itching. He wanted to do it. He's ready to come in. Get his moment. Get his 15 minutes of fame. Get it. Compared to eternity, that's about how long it is. About 15 minutes. Maybe it's just even 15 seconds of fame when you count eternity with no end. But the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, is ready to go. But the power of God restrains him. That's a great piece to know. That God pushes back and says, no, it's not the time. It's not the time. You know, there's people that, you know, some people say, just come on, let's usher in the coming of Christ. Let's usher in the second coming. Listen, God has a time frame. You're not going to budget. God knows. And, you know, I always go back to the scripture. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. When you're ready for the Lord to come, God says, I'm still loving people. And if I call them all now, so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so, not going to have that opportunity to come to Christ, to love my son, to receive that salvation, to have forgiveness of their sins. God, listen, God is the most patient of all. But he does have a plan. Thank God for his patience with me, maybe yourself. He has patience with the church. He has patience. But God does have a plan. And the man of lawlessness is coming. But he's being restrained by the Holy Spirit, the Lord. But then he goes on in verse 8, and then the lawless one will be revealed when God allows it. The Lord Jesus, here we go, the Lord Jesus will destroy him with the breath of his mouth and will bring him to nothing at the appearance of his coming. There's the victory right there. Jesus will destroy him with his breath, by words. Isn't that amazing? That is an amazing piece. We see that Jesus is the victor here. I want to read something also in Revelation a little bit. Here in Revelation 19, it says this. But the beast was taken in verse 20. But the beast was taken prison. Now Jesus destroys him on the earth. Okay? But the beast was taken prisoner. And along with it, the false prophet. Remember I mentioned the false prophet? I'm not making it up. It's right here in the Word. It just said that. Now, they're human beings, so you die a physical death, and then there's a spiritual. You either live or you die. There's a second or first death, second death. Here we go. So they have died that first death, the human. Here we go. So the beast was taken prison, and along with it, the false prophet. There's them two. Who had performed the signs in its presence, he deceived those who accepted the mark of the beast and those who worshipped its image with these signs. They did their damage, folks. They did their damage. Jesus came and took them out. And now it says this, both of them were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. We don't need to go anymore, but there it is. That's their end. Why are we not preaching hell anymore? Why are we just preaching, get your best life now. Let's work on yourself. It's all about me. What is God going to give me? What am I going to do? Let's lift myself up. Let's lift myself up. If we really understood and knew the scripture, we'd understand this. People go to heaven and people go to hell. People are either believers and have come to the realization that they need a Savior. They've done that. But there are others that refuse to do that. But let's find out why they refuse to do that. Let's look at this. Here we go. It says, so we know that Jesus has hit this part. It says, Jesus will destroy him with the breath of his mouth and will bring him to nothing at the appearance of his coming. Nothing. Not even going to be able to hit him or anything. Listen, when they hit Jesus, those Roman soldiers, and they flogged Jesus and they put him on that cross and they crucified him and put that spear in his side, I want to remind you, Jesus allowed it. They didn't have Jesus in the headlock. Jesus allowed himself, God allowed him to go through the suffering so that we would have salvation, eternal life. We would have that opportunity. Verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is based on Satan's working. Where does all this come from? It comes from Satan's work. It comes from Satan's work. With all kinds of false miracles, signs, and wonders, and with every wicked deception among those who are perishing. That's that work of that false prophet as well. Then it says, they perished because they did not accept, here it is, the people. We're talking. They perished because they did not accept the love of the truth and so be saved. People perished because they did not believe the truth. They refused salvation. On the Titanic, sinking ship, someone says, here's a life jacket. Take it. I don't want it. It's not what I want. I don't want it. People are refusing Jesus every single day. But I also want to remind you, people are receiving Jesus every day. People are coming into the arms of Christ every day, and praise God for that. Praise God for that. There are people, this is exciting to know that Jesus will call us up one day, whether we have already been laid resting in the ground or we're walking on the earth. When he calls his family, his children home, we'll go. But I continue to pray for family members and people that I know, because if he was to come right now, there would be some that I would not see and some that would not go. And that breaks my heart. It reminds me to pray for them continually. Lord, have mercy on their soul. Lord, continue to show your compassion. Hold back. Bring this one in the fold. The scripture says Jesus came so that all might be saved. But God all knew also that all was not going to be saved. We wouldn't be reading about the man of lawlessness. But they perished because they didn't accept the love, the truth of God's love, to be saved. And for this reason, God sends them a strong delusion so that they will believe the lie. Who's going to sit on this throne and claim he is God? They're going to believe that he is God. God's going to allow that to happen because we're all going to be condemned. There's a whole lot in between all these other things about the scrolls and about the writers, all that stuff. We're working on this right here. They're going to believe the lie. The lie that the Antichrist, the beast, is God. You're like, how could they do that? Well, you take all the believers out of heaven who has the Holy Spirit. Imagine it's taking out all the believers today. Right now, the world would be in chaos. The world would be in chaos. Verse 12, so that all will be condemned, those who did not believe the truth, but delighted, here we go, in unrighteousness. This is the key right here. This is why they're there. They delighted in unrighteousness. What does that mean? They delighted in the sinful things they were doing. They just want to keep doing what they want to do. You know, God has some laws back there called in Leviticus, or some laws, or Ten Commandments, and all these things. It was a piece. The man just couldn't hold it together. But God says, here it is. It's how you live. What it really comes down to is we just can't do it without God. We just can't. here's the difference. As a believer, we strive to do what we can do to live how God wants us to live. Amen? We do. I hope that you do. You strive to be the man, the woman that God's called you to be. You're not going to be perfect on this side of heaven. You're just not. You're not going to be that. You're not going to be. If you get into that, you're going to be legalistic. You're going to do all those things, and you're going to be looking at everybody else, but you're not going to be looking at the person in the mirror. You're not going to be listening to the Holy Spirit. There's no perfect person here. The only one that came perfect was Jesus himself, and he came to save all of us who are sinners. But here's the key. I don't want to live unrighteously. And I think this group, most likely, we don't want to live unrighteous before God. We're trying to figure out how to do it right. And we need God's Word. And He gave us God's Word. He gave us the Word so we can learn how to live right, how to pray for others, how to help others, how to put out a helping hand, how to lift up and worship God, how to go and help people and guide people to the truth and share the gospel and all those things. Try to keep ourselves undefiled in this world. Fighting times of temptation. And when we do sin, we have scripture that reminds us that if we sin, we can confess that sin to Christ. And He forgives us of our sins. And He cleanses us from all of our unrighteousness. And that's in God's Word, so I'm going to claim that. And you do too when you pray and say, Lord, I ask forgiveness of this and I ask forgiveness of this. And sometimes, Lord, sometimes if we, just because our conscience is clear, doesn't make us innocent, as the scripture says. Sometimes, Lord, if there's anything I've done against you, would you forgive me of that? Reveal that to me. Forgive me of my sins, those that I know and those that I don't. A person who spends time with that, with God, is a person who wants to be who God wants them to be, that's working and trying to be live a life that's righteous where God can use them. But these people, they don't care about it. They want to live unrighteous. They refuse. So they'll take the mark of the beast. But he gives us encouragement in verse 13. He says, but we ought to thank God always for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord. I'm going to remind you today that you are loved by God. Amen. When you don't think no one loves you, I want to tell you that God's Word says He loves you. He loves you. Even on your worst day, He loves you. He loves you. He says, because from the beginning, God has chosen you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel. That's that we were sharing Jesus. So that you might obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold to the traditions you were taught, whether by what we said or what we wrote. What he is saying, Paul is saying, listen, remember your salvation. Listen, your salvation, you've been sanctified. You are set apart. You've now become not part of that loss and righteousness, but now you've been set apart for God's family. By how? By listening to the Holy Spirit through the belief in Jesus that He came and died for our sins. And we believe that. And He called us through His gospel. Amen? And here He said this, you need to stand firm. Stand firm in your salvation. Stand firm. Be strong. Know who you are in Christ. Stand firm, but he also says, hold on to it. Hold on. Keep holding on. Hold on to the Word. Hold on to the Word. If there's anything true in this world, it is the Word of God. The people fight today are fighting for political position, and they'll cut each other down and say that they're believers. I mean, they'll just cut each other down. All over the world, they're talking about I'm going to tear this nation up. I want to fight. Listen, that's all the groanings and all that's coming to an end. All that's coming. All that hatred and all that strife and all that evil is coming to a head. And God's not being shaken by any of it. He's given us a forewarning, a prophetic piece of what's to come that is truthful. And he says this, all you people that come to my son Jesus, you're going to be okay. You're okay. Because I've adopted you. In the book of Romans, I've adopted you. You're my family now. But if you don't, The rest of the world's going to keep doing their thing, and people's going to get caught up in all that, and they're going to go, well, I got to get mine. I want to get mine. I want to get mine. But I'm reminded every time I do a funeral, there's no trailer hitch. No keys to the house. How I know that? Because the families are over there arguing so many times in the foyer area of who's getting what. That's the way of the world. We're not looking for the earthly possessions to lift us up. The scripture says, seek heaven, seek your treasures in heaven that are eternal. With your goodness and your charity and your loving those who don't look like you. You extend a hand to those who don't look like you at all. I want you to be encouraged today, really quick. Believe that Jesus is who He is, and believe that the Bible says what it is. It's true. Amen. Also, our sins are forgiven today. Amen. If you ask for forgiveness, Jesus says He'll forgive you of your sins. My salvation is eternal. It's not that I sin today that I'm going to lose my salvation today because I sinned and I said something wrong. And No. Our salvation is eternal. We are sanctified. We are set apart by God, by Him, by His own. Not by anything we do, but He sanctifies us. And if you're a believer, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that is in the Scripture. These are true, but only, listen to me, these are true, but only for the believer. Only for the believer. If you don't know Jesus Christ today, you don't have any of these things, the good things I'm talking about. You're over in the other part. You see, when a person dies and they don't know Christ, they die. And we can read through Scripture. We can find out kind of what happens to a person who dies. Goes to gnashing of teeth and all those things. And just that, it's a bad place to go. Death. It's a holding cell. Hell. And then when Jesus does His judgment, all the dead will rise. They're going to rise up for the great white judge throne. All those people that didn't know Christ. All those people. The great white judge throne. All them. You know what? If you're a believer, you're not going to be part of that one. That's all the people. And they're judging. God pulls all the books out and He judges by their works. And the Scripture, if I remember right, you don't get to heaven by your works. It's by grace. Do you see how Scripture just goes? Scripture just keeps help. It just keeps building on one from another. That's from Ephesians, but Ephesians will tell you in Romans that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then you'll go over to another verse in Revelation 3:20. It says He stands at the door and knocks. And it just keeps going back and forth because it is true. God's Word is true. So if it's true, and I've come to this place in my life in the past where I know that I made a moment where God was working and I could feel His Spirit for the first, I didn't understand it, but I knew it was something that wasn't of me, and He was working in whatever that was, I didn't know, but it was pulling me and saying, son, you need salvation. And I received that salvation at the age of 12, and I didn't understand it, and God knew I didn't understand it all, but I knew one thing, I needed Jesus and I didn't have Him, and I knew right from wrong. And He took me in. And each one of you that are saved have your own story of salvation. Don't you ever forget it. Don't you ever forget it. Now, some of you today may not have salvation. You're lost. You're lost in your sin. It's your life. You'll be judged by your works. I want to ask you, if you don't know Christ, how good are you? Do you deserve to get to heaven? Are you that good? I didn't think so. You need salvation today. You need salvation today. See, we're afraid to even preach salvation. We're afraid to call people out and say, listen, if you don't have Christ, you're lost. You're undone. You are filled with your sin. You are going to be part of the great white judge throne. You're going to be part of that big moment. But when you know Christ, you don't have to be on that. You're not a part of that one. Jesus said, that one's mine. That one's mine. That one's mine. You're going to be part of that. And there's no place you can hide because this is God's world. He's got the names of the stars and all the... He knows it all. He knows where everything is. Even Job says, have you walked to the recesses of the deep? Even God is in the bottom of the ocean walking. He knows what's going on in the bottom of the ocean where man hasn't even been. If you let God be God, you'll find yourself drawing to Him. Unless you want to live unrighteously, as these people did. Father, I know today there are some, there are so many here today that know You. Thank You so much for Your salvation. Praise be to Jesus that He didn't step off the cross, but He finished. He finished it. As He said, it is finished. The full payment for everyone's sins. Oh, that only we would have to ask for it. Today, there are so many here today that have, thank You, Jesus. But maybe some are having that itch to fall away. I pray for them that You will work Your Spirit on them today, this morning, to draw them back to where they need to be. And I pray for those today. There may be some today that don't know You, that today Your Spirit is working on them for salvation. I pray, Father, that we know that the Scriptures also says that Satan blinds the eyes of those and deceives those who hear the gospel. But I pray today, Lord, that You would unveil the gospel to them, that they might receive the greatest blessing that a human could ever have, salvation in Christ and Christ alone. Move on Your people today. May Your will be done in Christ's name.